Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. We do want to say welcome to those who may be watching online. You're always welcome, and we appreciate those who take in the service over the internet. And for those attending church physically this morning, Lord willing, and snow not flying too badly, and technology cooperating, you will be watching this video on the last Sunday morning of 2025. So let me first say a happy and blessed New Year to each of you, whether you are online or whether you're assembled in church in person. And secondly, I would be very remiss if I failed to say thanks to everyone who has helped to make this ministry successful in 2025. There are many who help in visible ways, visible positions, and perhaps even more who actually work behind the scenes. Believe me, all of you are appreciated, even if sadly we fail to acknowledge you as often and as meaningfully as we should. So at this time of the year, we always look forward to the new year. So what's ahead for 2026? You know, it's impossible for any of us to accurately predict the future. But there are some things that are true without any predictive ability on our part. First of all, we can be sure that wars and famine will continue in many parts of the world. It's sad but true, and it has been true ever since Jesus informed us of that now over 2,000 years ago. Trade wars will continue as nations become more inward-looking, and assistance to poorer countries will continue to decline. Again, Jesus said the poor would always be with us, and I believe we will unfortunately see more of their number in 2026. Some other things that will be happening. AI will expand rapidly. There's already expenditures planned of over $300 billion in this technology in the U.S. alone in 2026. Nations are already racing to find out more effective ways of waging war with AI. Certainly another sad but true situation. And so with it will come some job losses and misinformation and misuse at levels not even seen before. You know, our enemy will continue to prowl about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, but perhaps less traumatic, but just as damaging, seeking opportunities to sow discord, to start rumors, and generally to take every opportunity to disrupt and destroy what God is doing in our personal lives and in the life of our church. And you know, we could spend a lot of time this morning dwelling on the negative possibilities. We could go on indefinitely, but there are possible, or rather there are positive possibilities as well. AI will accelerate medical advances and develop a multitude of solutions once thought impossible. Just as a matter of interest, I asked an AI chatbot this morning, are there questions of spiritual revival in North America? And this is what the AI provided answer. It's rather interesting. Yes, it said, there are signs, there is evidence of spiritual revival in North America, including increased interest from young people, surges in Bible sales and religious media consumption, and reports of rising church attendance and conversions. And that is true. There are some amazing stories of revival happening in the world that rarely, if ever, are carried in the news media. So as we approach 2026, let's not become obsessed with the negative. There'll always be lots of that. The promises of the word, though, will remain true. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. There will be many things going on in the world over which we have little influence or control, but we can control where we will direct our attention and our energy and our focus. So let's make a choice about focus. Let's focus on the positive today, and more specifically what each of us can do personally to improve our relationship with the Lord and to help with his kingdom expansion in 2026. There's a couple of undisputable facts that should play into our minds as we consider the year ahead. Each of us are a year older, and each of us and our unsaved loved ones and our unsaved neighbors are a year closer to eternity, whether that would be by physical death or the Lord's return. And so may 2026 be a year of urgent witness. With that in mind, let's consider a few initiatives that we can carefully think about for 2026. For the first one, I'd like to read some verses from King David that he wrote in Psalm 63, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Psalm 63 is a psalm of David that reveals a heart within the king that is not satisfied with the spiritual status quo. He writes these words. He says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Remember those words, to see thy power and thy glory, to be in a place where God's presence is powerful. "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name, and my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice." And I want you to note this last line. "My soul follows hard after thee, and thy right hand upholds me." Lord, once again, we thank you for your word, and as we study it today, may your spirit once again connect with our spirits. May we be challenged with your word. May we find something new and exciting. May we hear from you in a very positive way. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. I'd like to direct our attention to verses 1 and 8 because I believe they emphasize the condition of David's heart as he writes this psalm. In verse 1, he says, "My soul thirsts for thee." And in verse 8, he says, "My soul follows hard after thee." What's the biblical definition of soul? Here's one definition. The soul is the whole person, a combination of body, mind, emotions, and will, and is often equated with the life force itself. Just for today's study, let's assume that the soul is the total you, your whole being. And so when David says, "My soul thirsts for thee," he is saying that his entire being is thirsting for the presence and power of God. One of his hopes is to see on a regular basis the power and glory of God as he apparently had witnessed on one or more occasions in the sanctuary. In verse 8, he's saying that his soul or entire being is following hard after thee. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated here as follows is only translated once as follows in the scriptures, but it is translated as pursue 74 times and chase 13 times. All three English words suggest there is more intention or more determination to reach the goal. Let's think about that for a moment. Maybe we can come to a deeper meaning through a hockey illustration. Picture, if you will, a Stanley Cup game with only a win away. And you can pretend your TV is broken and that you can only get the sound on your radio. Many of us will remember when that was the only choice. And if you were to hear the play-by-play man say, "Smith is following Jones down the ice," what sort of picture would come to your mind? And then if a few seconds later you hear the words, Smith is pursuing Jones down the ice, your mental picture would change just a little bit. But a few seconds later, if you heard the words Smith is chasing Jones down the ice, our mental picture changes substantially. Having a little trouble with my notes here today. They're froze together. Here we go. Now let's think again in spiritual terms. Am I a follower of Jesus? Well, I hope we all are. Are we pursuing his presence in our life? I hope we all are. Are we pursuing his presence in our church and in our family? I hope so. But I believe a good first goal for us in 2026 would be to move beyond the following and move into the pursuing, move into aggressively chasing his presence and his power in our lives and in our church. I love the King James language. In so many cases, it draws powerful word pictures. And I really love that line, "My soul follows hard after thee." So may following hard after the anointing, may following hard after his power, may following hard after his presence and glory of the Lord, may it be a primary goal for each of us as individuals and as a church in 2026. Now we know that from Scripture that David certainly had major flaws manifest in his life. We all do, but we also know that God saw something special in this man. And the Scripture refers to him as a man after God's heart and someone who would pursue God's will for his life. In Acts 13, verse 22, again from the King James, we read this, "And when he," and that's speaking about God, "when he had removed him," speaking about Saul now, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Could it be that at least a part of David that God loved was his pursuit in his life? I believe that this extensive list of psalms that we find in the Scripture provide ample evidence that David was continually pursuing or chasing the presence of God in his life through worship, praise, and prayer. And so could it be one of the aspects of God's will for our lives in 26 is that we would be following hard after, chasing or pursuing the things of God? Psalm 105 verse 4 in the ESV says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." May that be a theme for us as we move into the new year. And so for another goal in 2026, let's go to Acts chapter 2. The chapter begins with the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit that had been prophesied by this prophet Joel. And then Peter, as a result of that Holy Spirit infilling, is suddenly becoming an anointed evangelist. He is miraculously transformed from the fearful fisherman who lied rather than be identified with Jesus to the aggressive and eloquent evangelist. He preaches an amazing sermon. The Holy Spirit convicts those who are listening, and thousands respond to the gospel. And we can easily take that to be the climax of Acts chapter 2. But let's look just a little bit further as to what the believers were doing in verses 42 to 47. Verse 42, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." Note the word devoted. It's kind of like pursuing. It's kind of like following hard. They were anxious to learn and to be part of that new fellowship. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had, and they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while they were praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. So with the exception of the apostles, the people referred to in these verses were all new believers. And what we are reading here indicates that these new believers were people with extreme excitement about Jesus and what had happened to them. And I want you to please note the desire to know more about the apostles' doctrine. Do you know that studies conducted with Christians who claim a born-again experience reveal that many never crack open a Bible for weeks or months at a time? And other studies show that many who attend Sunday morning service rarely, if ever, attend a small group, a Bible study, or read books to improve their biblical knowledge. In other words, Sunday morning messages are their only potential source of growth. I think a great second goal for next year would be to strengthen our knowledge of the Word, to strengthen our knowledge in the Apostles' doctrine. What a contrast with these new believers we read about in Acts chapter 2. These new believers were excited. They wanted to learn everything they could about their new faith and the apostles' doctrine. And what followed was a period of radical extreme fellowship. People anxious to know more about the Word, anxious to observe communion, anxious to be part of their fellowship. People anxious about being with each other, jointly worshiping and praising the Lord. The third thing to note is that they had favor with all of the people. Wouldn't it be great if we could get excited about more of the Word in 2026? I think that would be a noble goal number two for the coming year. And here's the next point about these radical new believers. They worshiped at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. For lack of a better word, let's just call this extreme fellowship. Now, these new believers, most of them we assume were Jews, and so going to temple to practice Old Testament rituals associated with worship was a natural thing to do. But each day, assembling together for worship each day? Really? And then meeting in homes to share the Lord's Supper? When's the last time you or I met in someone's home and shared the Lord's Supper? We do remember Jesus telling his disciples to do this as oft as they ate the bread and drank the wine. Collectively here we have an amazing picture of extreme fellowship. People anxious to get together, anxious to learn, anxious to worship, anxious to remember the Lord's death and the blessing it had brought each of them. So a third goal for 2026 would be to experience extreme fellowship. Now, I think while it's not explicitly stated, there was an atmosphere of anticipation. We've been talking about anticipation now for the last several Sundays. And so this time we want to talk about anticipation for 2026. So as we read that story, lots of amazing things were happening. The text says that the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I think we can all imagine why they were so anxious to get together. God was doing some amazing things in this group of brand new believers, and I can imagine that there was expectation every time that they had the opportunity to get together to worship. What is God going to do today would be on their minds. You know, sometimes I think that we come to church almost as a matter of routine. It's an expected activity for those of us who call ourselves Christians. And so we go and we take in the service and we return home and we kind of check the box for another week. But I believe that God responds to expectation. If we were to come together in 2026 expecting God to do great things, I believe that he would meet those expectations. And lastly, I find that sentence really intriguing. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, there are times on this earth when a number of factors come together at just what just seems to be the right time and the right place, resulting in amazing happenings. I would submit to you that their fervent seeking for the presence and power of God, plus their extreme fellowship, coupled with their enthusiasm and combined with their generosity toward each other, augmented by the things God was doing through the apostles, became absolutely contagious. So contagious that it could not be contained. Everyone just wanted to find out why these folks were so happy and so enthusiastic. Is it any wonder then that people were saved and added to the church daily? Let's take what we can learn from these new believers and let's work together for a contagious year in 2026. Lord, once again, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this account of new believers and the excitement, the extreme fellowship that they demonstrated to the world around. We know that the gospel spread so quickly, and it actually did become contagious. New believers added to the church on a regular daily basis. And so, Lord, as we approach 2026, let us be those who follow hard after thee, seeking your presence, seeking your anointing in our lives, our personal lives, seeking your presence and power above all else in our church in 2026. We ask this believing and anticipating in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.